Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, crazy martinis for you as usual. We start with the good. We go back to Obamacare. It's the topic the president seems extremely uninterested in addressing in public today, although his allies are doing it, which we'll talk about in the third martini. We go to an interview that Steve Malzberg of Newsmax.com did with Mark Halperin. He, of course, has been affiliated with MSNBC, Time Magazine. He's the co-author of Double Down. He was the co-author of Game Change following the 2008 election. Not exactly a hardcore conservative in any way, but Steve Malzberg, of course, leans to the right. And he brought up the issue of the Independent Payment Advisory Board, which a lot of people are saying is really the death panels involved in Obamacare, which will end up rationing care. And here's how that conversation went.
Yeah, I think they focus on the death panels, which will be coming. Call them what you will. Rationing is part of it.
I agree. Huge. It's going to be a huge issue. And that's something else about which the president was not fully forthcoming and straightforward.
Right, so you believe that there will be rationing, a.k.a. death panels?
It's built into the plan. It's not like a guess or like a judgment. That's going to be part of how costs are controlled.
And Halperin goes on, Jim, to point out that the media obviously did a horrible job of vetting this law. They were mainly cheerleading. But he says even the conservative press, they obviously found a lot of things in the law they didn't like. But there are other things that popped up after it passed that even those of us on the right didn't see at first.
You say that Obama wasn't talking about Obamacare today, Greg. My understanding was that he was pardoning the site developers today. It said he was right here on the White House schedule. They're pardoning the turkeys. Oh, they mean the biological turkeys, not the turkeys who built the website. Okay, that's fine. What was Halperin's words? Not forthcoming, not direct about, or so, you know, like, no, he lied, okay? He flipping lied, and there are lots of other words I wanted to use there. He lied! If you want to say death panels is a hyperbolic phrase, and it, you know, evokes this Orwellian execution chamber, fine, okay? But it's a group that's going to say, we've decided that these treatments are not cost-effective, and thus you can't have them. And for some people, that means they're going to die, okay? That's why we call them the death panels. So it's really great that Mark Halperin is saying this now. Maybe this would have been a nice chapter in double Change or Game Down or whatever the, you know, things are. Because, you know, he gave a similar interview to this not long ago, and Mary Catherine Hamm, who we're all big fans of, said, you know, they asked, like, look, you know, Obama was saying if you like your plan, you can keep it. Anybody who really looked at the legislation was saying there's no way that can be the case. Didn't the media have a responsibility to report this and say the president was making a promise he couldn't keep? And Halperin said, yes, but, you know, Romney really was an imperfect messenger for criticisms, of, you know, and he just kind of deviates to what the problem is with Romney. And to which point, you know, Mary Catherine Hamm starts typing in all caps, what is the point of you, Mark Halperin? If you need to say, well, yes, technically the president is lying, but here's some potential hypocrisy on the part of, you know, like, it's this insane moral equivalent. This is the good martini, Greg, right? We're sure?
Yes, it's a good martini because it's coming to light from folks who don't have an alleged ideological axe to grind. It's a little bit of a stretch, but it's there.
The good news is the worst is yet to come. And people are now kind of prepared for it, meaning knowing that they can't keep their plan, that when IPAB, the other name for what we call the death panels, comes along, I'm going to rejigger this into be the good martini of saying, look, the public is now receptive to the message that Obama is lying his hiney off in selling this thing, so that when the death panels come along, there'll be just one more Yule log on the fire to get with the spirit of the season.
Nice.
Pointing out that you know, Obamacare was not honest about it. It doesn't work the way he said it was going to. You don't get to keep what you want. And it's all designed to push us in a much more leftward direction, much larger state control of the healthcare industry, and something that most Americans will be repelled by and want to get rid of as soon as possible.
All right, on to martini number two. Now, and the president was, as we mentioned, trying to distract everybody with other subjects yesterday. So he is giving his umpteenth immigration reform speech out in California yesterday, and this heckler behind him, one of the people as a prop behind him on stage, decided to call out during the speech.
Use your executive order to halt deportation for all 11.5 undocumented immigrants in this country right now.
In case you can hear that, the guy is saying, use your executive authority to stop the deportation of all 11.5 million undocumented immigrants. And the president got huge cheers because he let the guy stay. He didn't have security throw him out because, you know, he cares and he's down with the struggle.
Oh, the munificent Sun King says he may stay.
But then Obama says this.
If, in fact, I could solve all these problems without passing laws in Congress, then I would do so. But we're also a nation of laws. That's part of our tradition.
Jim, just a couple issues here. First of all, I think that's a little bit of a psychological insight into the president who really, really wishes he had that authority and is really annoyed that Congress even exists. And secondly, the fact that he would use that argument in the context of immigration proves that he doesn't even believe that, because he basically enacted the DREAM Act on his own. And he stopped the deportation of all illegals in this country, except for those with a criminal record in addition to coming to the country illegally. So he's not even being intellectually honest on this.
Yeah, but he had a de facto DREAM Act right before the election. And lots of folks had said, wait a minute, how can the president do that? And this is what, you know, when you're president, you control the executive branch. You know, does refusing to enforce a law amount to a de facto veto of legislation that is on the books? And I think that'd be a great thing for our Supreme Court to consider here. Two other things I'm just going to jump out here. Again, you know, I had asked on Twitter yesterday after this occurred, Greg, when's the last time a conservative heckled President Obama?
That's a good question.
And somebody pointed out, Joe Wilson, you lie, which I think probably, you know, fits, you know, it fits that description. But otherwise, I mean, usually it's gay marriage protest. It's gay marriage protesters, Code Pink, and now immigration protesters. All groups that are generally coming from the left. And so for all of this talk of, oh, the crazy right wingers, they hate the president and they're frothing at the mouth. We don't spend our time sneaking into an Obama event so we can yell at him. There's a certain school of thought that says, well, you know, he's a president of the United States. Respect the office, if not the man. The man's given a speech. You know, we don't want to live in a country where there's a heckler's veto, where you basically can just shout down somebody you disagree with. You're entitled to boo. You're entitled to respond negatively, but that ultimately he's there and, you know, he deserves a chance to make his arguments and, you know, you can respond as you wish. Do you realize that that heckler was apparently an illegal immigrant? I mean, the stones on this guy to go to an event with the president, you're in this country illegally, and then protest that the president isn't willing to break the law to make you legal. You turn, end up twisting your brain into a Mobius strip in order to grasp all that. Some of the folks in MSNBC were saying this is not good optics for fans of amnesty or fans of immigration reform to see this snot-nosed punk yelling at the president, interrupting his event and insisting that he just, you know, with the stroke of a pen, arbitrarily end deportations and stop enforcing the laws. This is like this Generation Y snotty sense of entitlement that is just utterly insufferable. And the answer is no. You know, no, we don't just decide to abandon laws because it's inconvenient to you, Mr. Lawbreaker, who came into the country illegally. So, look, not only do I not want to end deportations, Greg, I know who to start with.
I think that probably would have been today's crazy martini, except for this one. BarackObama.com, Organizing for America, whatever you want to call it, has decided that you don't know how to run your own Thanksgiving dinner, because they have decided to put the conversation topics out there for you. And whether it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, whether you're at a Christmas party at work, whether you're at a church or a synagogue, well, clearly that's the right time to encourage people to sign up on the healthcare exchanges. They've even put out a little video. Here's the first part where the parents set the stage for the conversation.
Hi, Mom.
You almost here?
Yeah, I'll be there in a few.
Good, because we have something really important to talk to you about.
Okay.
That's weird. Any hints?
Don't worry about it.
Drive safely.
Bye.
So then the next minute or so, he's driving to his parents' house and all these thoughts about what they might want to talk to him about. And in this 20-something-year-old's mind, the options could be that they want to move in with him, that they've joined a cult, that they know what he did in Vegas, that they want to join the circus, that the dad is Daft Punk, whatever that means, that grandma is a dragon, or that they got matching tattoos. But of course, once he gets there, it's this.
What did you want to talk to me about?
We know you don't have health insurance.
We love you no matter what, but it's time to get covered.
That's it? Health insurance?
It's important.
I know, and I'll do it. I just thought, never mind.
Aw, Jim, what a happy family moment that is.
Is this the first year they've done this, or do we always get some sort of like Thanksgiving talking point issuance from Organizing for America or Obama for America?
That's a good point. I know last year they wanted people to donate to the president instead of actually getting birthday gifts from their friends because they felt so passionately about the election.
Okay, there's that one. Because all of a sudden, you know, dear munificent leader has to appear in all of our holidays. You know, and we have our instructions for this. I guess maybe I'm mixing up with like Huffington Post articles about how to deal with your crazy conservative relatives and stuff like that. I don't know if I've seen on National Review or other, you know, conservative sites how to deal with your liberal relatives. Like, we all have family members that might grate on our nerves or drive us crazy sometimes. But like, really, like, that's what Thanksgiving is all about, right? Family that you love, you may or may not agree with. They may sometimes drive you crazy, but they're family. You know, you only get one or two in this life. The idea of Thanksgiving being this like a serious crisis in your life that you need to, you know, help. You know, I need Chris Hayes to guide me through conversations with my relatives. How do I deal with these people? First of all, it observes that this is the politification of life, that basically there is no realm beyond politics, and that the family getting together for a holiday meal and basically being appreciative and thankful for what they have this year, this is an opportunity to make a sales pitch. The great Ace of Spades talked about talking points for dealing with your family members with Obamacare this Thanksgiving. And I'll just use the first one to give you a good sample of what it is and what a lot of Obama fans can expect to get around the table this Thanksgiving. Hey, remember when you said that Obamacare was going to work great? And then when people asked you how it actually worked, you sort of implied they were stupid for not knowing. And yet you never really provided any evidence that you had any idea of how that was supposed to work yourself. Yeah, you were wrong to do that. When you said it wasn't redistributive, you were wrong on that too. Remember when Republicans at the table objected to if you like your plan, you can keep your plan? I hate to keep coming back to this point, but you were wrong on that one too. Remember when you were so confident and arrogant, snotty, sneering, and dismissive about legitimate, informed concerns about Obamacare? Well, you were wrong, and you weren't just wrong on the facts, you were wrong on a human level. You very nearly screamed your ignorant opinions and shouting down dissent. You sneered at people who knew more than you did, and you indulged in entirely unwarranted moral preening about your alleged concern for the poor. Despite the fact that you never actually do anything to aid the poor, you believe that shouting at relatives is your idea at charity. So you were wrong, and you are wrong. So for the behalf of the rest of the family, please keep your stupid mouth shut this year and let us all digest in peace. And I can't put it any better than that, Greg.
Oh, can't we just watch football?
Yes. How about those Lions? I can't believe they're losing this early.
Also on this, there's a four-part, in addition to the video, there's a four step-by-step process for engaging in conversation with your kids. Like, you don't know how to talk to your own family members about this or anything else. And then step four is a pledge that you send in to BarackObama.com to commit to talking to your family members about signing up on the exchange. Because, again,
this is really creepy, isn't it, Greg?
Yes.
Like, there's, you know, if you're really into this, you have real problems in life. And I hope you can find, you know, something outside of politics to help you, because politics is not going to be the source of your great inner peace and wisdom and sense of all being right with the world.
Folks, enjoy your Thanksgiving. Don't listen to the administration. Jim, talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Please join us again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.